Good, so if we can have two readers this morning. The first brother can read from verse 1 of chapter 4 in Judges. Judges chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. And the second reader from verse 13 to 24. And then we'll have some opening comments.
Was Judges chapter 4, 1 and 12?
Yes.
When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak the son of Abinoam from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zion, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam had gone up to the Mount Tabor.
Thank you.
Remind them, Brother Tony, they might have forgot that you're waiting.
Next brother, next reader from verses 13 to 24.
Then Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the torrent of Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, oh, for this is the day in which Jehovah hath given Sisera into thy hand. Is not Jehovah gone out before thee? And Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And Jehovah discomfited Sisera, and all the chariots and all the army, with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera got down from his chariot, and fled on foot. And Barak pursued after the chariots and after the army, to Harosheth Goim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not one was left. And Sisera fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said to him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And he turned in to her, into the tent, and she covered him with the quilt. And he said to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened the flask of milk, and gave him drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And it shall be, if anyone come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say, no. And Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent pin, and took the hammer in her hand, and went softly to him, and smote the pin into his temples, and it penetrated into the ground. For he had fallen into a deep sleep, and was faint, and he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael went out to meet him, and said to him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And he went into her tent, and behold, Sisera lay dead, and the pin was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel ever advanced, and prevailed against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had cut off Jabin, king of Canaan.
Thank you very much. So in this account that we have before us, we're going to look at this aspect of the devil. We had first the world and the system of things as in opposition to the mind of God, a system that says we can be profitable, we can excel, all independent of God. And then yesterday in the second session, we looked at Eglon as a type of the flesh. He was the king of Moab, and we saw that he was a very fat man, filled of sexual immorality, self-indulgence, and laziness. He was fat, and he was lazy. And how, as the people of God who had sinned against God, God had first sold them into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia, strengthened the hand of Eglon against his people, and they were in bondage first for 8 years and then for 18 years. And we want to remind ourselves that sin has a cost. And the cost here was years that were lost that could have been productive years for God. And yet, because of their sin, God had to train them, put them under bondage so that they would be recovered to him and that there would be a time of rest. And when there's restful situation, then that is where the people of God are not at war, where there can be advancements that are made. But in this fourth chapter, as we look at the devil, and we look at a very mighty foe, we're going to see some very interesting ways in which God deals with this great foe. But I want to begin, I told the brothers I'm going to begin speaking about Satan himself, but I don't want to really start on that line. That'll come out in our studies. But in the very first verse, it says, "The children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." Go back to chapter 1 with me for a moment. In chapter 1, in verse 8. Read verse 7 for connection. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, 110 years old. Verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation."
That's chapter 2, verse 10.
Sorry, chapter 2, verse 10. I'm sorry. I read from verse 7. I'm at verse 10. "And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, who knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam." You'll notice that as we went through chapter 3, that God raised up a deliverer, and then after that deliverer passed from the scene, we read those fateful words that the people again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what this says to us, and we want to challenge ourselves, is that very often the people of God, the tendency, the human tendency, is to follow the voice of a man. And when that man goes, then the people go. But the encouragement that we want to see from the Word of God is that we not just follow a man, but that we follow the man, the Lord, the Christ, the Exalted One. Because when we have our eyes upon him, whether Joshua is alive or dead, whether Ehud is alive or dead, or Othniel, we may miss that individual, their ministry, their leadership. But when they go, we don't fall. And so this is the tendency, one line that we see running from each of these accounts, that the people had their eye upon a great leader, but the change had not taken place in their hearts. And so when this leader passed away, we find that they do evil again in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And so we want to remember that, young people, You look around, some of us are helping you and guiding you as those who are a little bit older. It's good to respect and love the brethren, but you don't want to have your eyes upon us. You want to have your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And so now someone can help take us into just the thought of the king of Jabin, the king of Canaan, as we delve into this. But this is the nexus, the transition that happens to the people of God, that we fall, we stumble, we do evil when our eyes are simply upon another human being and not fixed upon the Lord himself.
Just to add briefly to that is that we often may look at outward position as well. The fact that they were outwardly the people of God didn't avail them unless they were trusting in the living God. And so too, we may go to conferences, we may sit in a circle and do various things, but unless there is real faith engaged in those things, unless I'm really walking with the Lord, the outward position does me no good. And so sometimes we trust in forms and ceremonies and practices and stuff and miss the real thing. So just to add to what you said.